Good afternoon, and welcome to Sound Living on this very hot Friday afternoon. And no matter how hot you are, we're hotter here in the studio. But we will persevere and get through our Sound Living this afternoon. My guest is Rachel Milliken. Rachel believes everyone can and should communicate with their pets, whether they are fish, goats, horses, or cats. She says everyone can talk with their animals if they take the time to learn and listen. Rachel Milliken talks with all animals. Her specialty is dogs, and we're going to try and unlock some of the processes of animal communication this afternoon on Sound Living. And you're welcome to join the conversation here on KSCR at 425-303-9070. If you'd like to join our conversation this afternoon about communications with pets, and if you'd like to put the pets on the line, that would be fine as well. Join us at 425-303-9070. Rachel, thank you. Welcome to the program. I've been looking forward to talking with you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
When you talk about communicating with the animals, with the pets, do you mean communication the way we are communicating now, where I speak to you, you hear me, you respond, I ask a question, you answer the question, or are you telepathically in contact with them and getting images, pictures, things of that nature?
I would say that in the essence of what we're speaking about today, we are talking about telepathic communication. In some situations, you may have an animal, such as your dog, who you've trained to speak, and then they speak. And so you can have that kind of communication. I've recently taught my border collie to wink, which maybe is a mistake because it's working. But seriously, we are talking about telepathic communication. And when you get into telepathic communication, you're talking about different senses. And so you would be talking about clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience.
Can you expand a little bit on that a little bit?
Absolutely. So most people have heard of clairvoyance, where someone has clear seeing, where they're able to see images. An example would be in a session where I'm communicating with a dog and I'm closing my communication and I say, is there anything else you would like your humans to know? And I'm sitting and I'm waiting and all of a sudden I see this blue, bright blue orb. I have no idea what it is, of course. And so I make a note, and then I send the information off, and then the parent or human gets back to me and says, I know exactly what that is. We have a toy that is a bright blue circle that we stuff with treats before bedtime. That would be an example of clairvoyance.
So how then do you interpret what it means for you to get that vision of that big blue circle? How do you interpret that and relate it back to the dog and the dog's family?
How I would relate that back to the dog's family is I would say, in closing the communication, I asked if there's anything that they want you to know, and the communication was that they love this toy of theirs that is a big blue orb. Do you have any idea what that is? Because I don't know what that is. So it's obviously bigger than a ball. It doesn't necessarily make sense to me. In fact, often the communication doesn't make any sense to me at all. And the parent or human is the one who can then unfold what that information means based on their relationship. And in fact, I would often ask people to tell me very little about their animals or their pets, but rather just send a list of questions, because the primary way that the information can be validated is if I don't know anything. And then there is in this conversation about, well, I shared this information, blah, blah, blah. It's just, here are all of our questions. And then I basically do my best to open myself up to function as a straw for the information to travel through. And again, it comes back to the telepathic modes in which the information comes. So clairvoyance would be the seeing, clairaudience would be hearing words, audio. Some people have a sense of smell that they'll get, where I haven't had that experience yet, where they get a smell of something that they could share with someone. And then clairsentience is just a sense of knowing, of a feeling, of an emotion that you may get from some from an animal.
So there's more to it. Since you are not actually physically present with the dog, it's not body language that you are interpreting.
No, it's not. No, it's the collective. It's information traveling on the collective. We're all connected. Everything living is connected.
And the clairvoyance, is it more sophisticated or less sophisticated than, say, pictographs, where there's a whole sentence laid out in pictures?
That's a great question. I haven't had an experience myself where there's a whole sentence laid out in pictures. Often, in fact, like I say, the information doesn't make sense, and I'll get images or information that I have to share that the person would then need to translate what that means. So, and the information comes in really, really fast. So I usually just transcribe it all down and then type it so that people can look at it. And then, of course, follow up with any questions for me if they need clarification.
And for clairaudience, what you're hearing actual words coming from the mind of the animal? Is that?
I can't really answer the question as if they're coming from the mind of the animal or if they're getting translated in. Again, it comes down to quantum physics. I don't know if they're getting translated in the collective or how that interpretation is coming in. I most definitely hear words. Not always complete sentences. And then depending on the words I hear, we'll have to ask another clarification question, which then may come back. I might get an answer with an image. I'll give you an example. My most recent interaction with an animal had to do with a gentleman who had lost his dog. And he contacted me because a friend suggested and referred him to me. And he said, you know, he was just really broken up. His dog had died, and he knew from the vet that the dog had been poisoned, and he would just didn't have any answers, and he has other animals. Long story short, and I could get more into it if you wanted, the animal communicates to me, shows me a picture of going outside of a sliding door and then takes a hard right. So I actually get a visual picture of the sliding door and then the dog shooting to the right of the house. And as I get this picture, at the same time I'm getting this image as if I'm almost in this person's house. He might not have a sliding door. I hear to the right, to the right, to the right. And so here again, I have no idea what this means. And so I just am taking notes and transcribing, trying to get clarification on some questions that were sent to me. The end result is this animal is reporting to the owner that to the right of the house, there's a problem. So I'm clarifying, is there poison to the right of the house? It's our understanding you were poisoned. The animal explains that it caught a rodent, but that the rodent was sick, which made him sick. That this particular neighbor is poisoning the rodents, but to the right, to the right, to the right. Long story short, to the right. So he goes outside, he starts snooping around, emails me and said, holy cow, I found a footpath to the right of my house, and we basically have a peeping Tom.
Hmm.
I'm calling the police. This is the kind of information. So it came in as a combination of images for me to explain to this person where to go and what I saw, and then a combination of audio to send this individual to inspect this particular area.
And does this communication come in quickly to you?
Extremely quickly.
Extremely quickly.
So fast that if you're thinking at all, you're not going to get it. So when a human being has over 40,000 thoughts a day and they wonder why they can't communicate with an animal, the animal is trying desperately to get through, but they can't dial in the signal, you know, the busy signal. The human brain is going and going and going and going.
So in order for you to receive these communications, do you need to basically purge your brain of outside?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would say, you know, there are days where I can sit down and do what I do, which if someone wants to call in and ask, how do you do this? I'd be happy to share.
Well, they can't ask my questions.
They can call in and ask and we'll tell the secret. But yeah, I mean, you're basically talking about getting into a state where you are turning off the data stream that's happening in your brain, so that you need to go to the grocery store, that you need to do this, that you need to do that, oh, you forgot to change your voicemail, whatever. All of the jazz that's happening needs to stop. Technically, I would say that's a form of meditation.
And how do you isolate and differentiate that you want to talk to or hear from Joe the Beagle or Mary the Parakeet? Or how do you open up the specific lines of communications to a specific animal?
In my particular case, when I get an inquiry from a customer, I have the questions and then they send photos for me. When I get those photos and I take all of my customers in the order the emails are received, unless I have an emergency inquiry and then everything gets bumped for the emergency, I pull the photos up and I leave them on my desktop. And then I usually travel with the image of that animal, you know, depending on what my week looks like, in my mind, seeing that animal for a day or two, and then connect with my heart. And then I can feel that animal with my heart, and then I can see that animal. And then I give homework to my the folks who write into me. I give them some homework for communication on their end with their animal. And instead of me being a cold call when I sit down to connect, the folks who have done their homework, the animals pretty much are ready to rumble. They're kind of waiting to get whatever message across needs to be. And they're all available. I just find that if someone has communicated with their animal, hey, I've done some reach out. You're going to be hearing from a person. I've got questions to make sure everything is okay or you're as happy as whatever the situation is. It's kind of like not making a cold call anymore.
We're talking on Sound Living this afternoon with Rachel Milliken about animal communications, and you're welcome to join the conversation with your experiences. If you have questions about how it is done, feel free to join us at 425-303-9070 if you'd like to join the conversation this afternoon with my guest, Rachel Milliken. Phone number this afternoon on Sound Living is 425-303-9070. We'll take a short break. We'll give you some bad news about what's going on the freeways this afternoon, and we'll be right back here on Sound Living from KSER.
Support for KSER comes from members in Whidbey Island Center for the Arts and Django Fest Northwest, September 21st through the 25th, featuring Mark O'Connor, Stocello Rosenberg, Howard Alden, Annette Cohen, and Martin Taylor with Pearl Django. Tickets and information at WICAonline.com.
It is 82 degrees in Everett, Washington at 419. It's 90.7 KSER.org. Traffic is not that great. It's 45 minutes Seattle to Everett, 42 minutes Bellevue to Everett. If you're headed south, quite a bit worse. Everett to Seattle, 1 hour. And Everett to Bellevue, not so bad at 35 minutes. Things clog up. Southbound 5, right around the Seattle city line if you're headed southbound. And there is, on State Route 167 southbound, down just south of Renton a ways, and the incident is just north of South 277th Street. There's a collision blocking two right lanes, and assistance teams are on the scene. Do drive carefully if you are navigating the Savage Highways. Look for partly cloudy skies tomorrow, 74 degrees, and Sunday the rain returns, 70% chance of rain, highs around 65, and 55% humidity right now in Everett.
And we're back on Sound Living this afternoon. If you'd like to join our conversation, the phone number is 425-303-9070. We'll be happy to answer the phone, pick up the call, and join us this afternoon. We're talking with Rachel Milliken. We're talking about communicating with animals, and she will tell you how to do it if you join us this afternoon on Sound Living. Again, if you'd like to join the conversation, 425-303-9070. When did you first understand that you were getting messages from animals?
I would say that it was clear to me that I was communicating with my dog, Bootsy, when I was in first grade.
And how did that manifest itself? How did you know that you and Bootsy were in communication?
I was an only child. And it seems like some strange things happen when you're an only child because you're not playing board games or anything else. And if you have an animal, then who better to talk to than your compadre?
Which I'm sure a lot of kids do, but you were getting responses back.
I don't think that then I was thinking of it as communicating with my animal. In fact, I really didn't even think of it as a animal communication as animal communication in the sense that we're talking about it today until this past winter, to be honest, in November when someone mentioned to me, hey, you're like an animal communicator. And I said, what are you talking about? Of course, everyone talks to the animals. And then I Googled it and started finding all of these people who have been doing this for years. And I thought, oh, okay, there's something to this. As far as, I mean, I guess I didn't really ever quantitatively pull out I'm communicating with my dog. I mean, it was the normal interaction you would have as if you were had a playmate in first grade. Do you want to go do this? Do you want to go do that? Yes, I want to go to the park. No, I don't want to go to the school playground. Okay, well, then we'll go to the park instead.
So you were having a communication with your dog?
Most definitely.
And you didn't perceive it as unusual?
Not at all.
When did it come to you that you were doing something that others were not doing?
Honestly, like I say, it wasn't really until this past winter that I hadn't had a conversation with someone that would exclude that people were not communicating with their animals. So I didn't really ever think about it that way. And I guess I had always hung out with people who communicate, you know, I mean, their animals were...
Well, I mean, I think we all talk to our animals.
Yeah, but as far as receiving information, actually took someone else to point it out to me. Someone else pointed it out to me this past winter.
Okay.
Witnessing an interaction.
We're talking with Rachel Milliken, and if you'd like to join the conversation, please do. We are at 425-303-9070, and we are joined on the phone this afternoon by Kelly and Everett. Kelly, thanks for joining us on Sound Living.
Hi there.
Sure, you have a question for Rachel?
I do. I also just wanted to say I'm a big fan of Sound Living, and I'm really thrilled to hear you talking to someone like her.
Well, thank you.
It's a topic I'm very interested in. I'm an intuitive myself, but I work mostly with people. And so I wanted to ask, I have a real good friend who's a fantastic animal communicator. She's helped me a lot. I've heard that people who do this can sometimes talk to animals who've already passed on.
Yes.
Have you done that?
I have.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
I would be happy to talk about that.
Do you want to come in and do the show, Kelly? Or just stay on the line, and I'll just take a break.
Another thing I'm interested in is I'm getting flustered now. Just the wide, broad spectrum of information that animals have to give, like what you said about the peeping Tom earlier.
Right. Two things, Kelly. One thing, you heard that earlier story, so we can go back to that. That was actually an animal who was deceased. Two, are you getting flustered because you've recently lost a pet?
No, because Ed's teasing me.
Okay.
I'll stop teasing you.
Actually, are you gonna talk to animals on the show right now?
I'm not.
Okay.
According to what she tells me, that the process takes a lot of time to establish it, and there'd be a lot of dead air on the radio. So,
I understand.
Unfortunately, we can't do that here.
Okay.
But if you could put your dog on the phone, maybe we could.
There you go. And even if it was only 30 seconds of dead time, it's radio.
I did lose an animal a few years ago, but that's not why I got flustered.
Yeah. So you had some questions about...
The wide spectrum of information that animals have available. More than I'm hungry, more than I'm cold.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, that's what I've heard and experienced, is that they're pretty smart, they're pretty aware. So I'd be interested to hear any examples of that.
I'm going to try and think of I have a raft of them. So let me think of some very poignant ones that have passed in the in the last month or so. The gentleman who I had been working with the animal who passed away, and the dog's name was B2, actually. I have clarification that I could advertise that. You know, this animal was very worried. And so as an intuitive, you understand when you're connecting and then all of a sudden you kind of are trembling and feeling that worry and fear. Mm-hmm. And so I incorporate that into any responses I get that are tangible. I incorporate that sensitivity that's arising. And this particular pet was concerned for his owner's safety, basically, and he said that he needed to really inspect what was going on. And here now has delivered information that has led to a situation where there's a peeping Tom, and the police have been contacted and so on and so forth. Another situation I had come up was an emergency email, which is never fun to open, of an animal that was only 5 years old, a dog in this particular case, who this was an email where it was really, I know I need to put her down, but I just am struggling with if now is the right time. And so with a lot of trepidation, I go in to kind of get into my meditative state and empty my brain out and relax and do everything that I do in all my steps. And the message is delivered from this animal that she believes she's being poisoned by her food and her medication from her current vet. She also believes that the records, her records, had been swapped. In other words, the diagnosis that came in was a diagnosis for a different animal, and that she was being mismanaged and mismedicated. Now, how does the animal come with that
That's
information?
Amazing.
I don't know how the animal comes with this information, or if they overheard maybe a vet tech had said, do we have the right file? I mean, who knows? So, I relay all this information to the owner, and God bless her, she hopped too. And within 48 hours, that animal was seeing another vet, was pulled off of all the medication she was on, was completely changed on her diet, and was instantly given acupuncture to get her system flowing more fluidly, and is no longer eating from a liquid pureed syringe type diet, but is eating from her bowl and gallivanting around at the dog park.
I know.
And these are the reasons we go, okay, I'm so tired, but I need to do this work.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And it's my hope that this kind of information gets out, because if we really understood how much they know and how much they feel and understand, it would really change our whole culture.
I totally agree with you, and I have goosebumps.
Yeah, so thank you so much, Ed, for having her on, and Rachel, thanks for talking to me.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly, for listening. We're talking on Sound Living this afternoon with Rachel Milliken, an animal conversant in communication with the animals. If you'd like to join us, our phone number is 425-303-9070, and we're joined this afternoon by Angie in Monroe. Angie, thanks for talking with us.
Hi, Rachel. This is Angie.
Hi, Angie.
I have a cat who's 17. Her name is Vanna, but she's not white. And when I met my husband 10 years ago, I said, point to the ground and say, roll over and show me your belly. And he looked at me like I was crazy. I said, well, just humor me, okay? So he did that. He said that to the cat. He touched the ground. He said, roll over, show me your belly. And she looked at him like, how do you know what to say to me? And she did. She laid down and she rolled over. And I swear, she's just a tortoiseshell, just, you know, a little adopted at the farmer's market. And but she's smart. She has, like, you know, hundreds of words she knows.
Mm-hmm. No question.
What would have happened, if I can just ask you, what do you think would have happened if your husband had not pointed to the ground, just said, roll over and show me your belly? Was it the gesture that the cat had learned to associate to go on the ground and roll over, as opposed to the words?
That's a possibility.
And give it a try. And also try it with a different tone of voice.
Right. And I have a different thing I do even with strange cats. I mean, stranger cats. Strangers to me. They're not strange.
Unknown.
But I'll put my hand about, they'll be sitting on the ground, and I'll put my hand about 6 to 8 inches above their head, and they will, I call it a purry up, where they jump up and butt their head on my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, cats I don't even know do that with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not carrying catnip at the time.
Well, I would assume that they're receptive to the concept that you're a kind, loving soul that's interested in engaging with them.
Right. Yeah, and, that's what I think.
And they pick up on these things, so...
That's my story.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Angie, for joining us. And if you have
thank
a story,
you.
You're welcome to join us as well at 425-303-9070. We're talking with Rachel Milliken this afternoon. She communicates with animals. She believes everybody can communicate with animals, and they communicate with her as well. If you have a question, if you'd like to join us, if you've got a story, 425-303-9070. And Kathy in Maryville joins us. Kathy, thanks for talking with us this afternoon.
Thanks for having this interesting person on. The last caller might have touched on this, but you've been talking a lot about hearing what animals have to say. Mm-hmm. Are you able to give animals a message from their people?
Absolutely.
So I'm a veterinarian.
Mm-hmm.
I've had cats all my life.
Mm-hmm.
I have two cats
mm-hmm.
now that, you know, I take on the responsibility. They'll be with me until they die. One is 14 and one is 10.
Mm-hmm.
And for the past 6 years, they've been spraying in the house.
Oh, boy.
And I know why they're doing it.
Why?
It's, well, there was conflict between the two.
Right.
I moved to a new house, but it actually had started before I moved. But at this new house, there are a gazillion cats in the neighborhood.
Okay.
And so I feel they, you know, need to claim this place as their own, and there's nothing I can do about the other cats. The one that is the most offensive sprayer has become a totally outdoor cat now. Other than on cold nights, I bring him in, and he stays either in the bathroom or in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
But
are you wondering? Can you just say stop doing these cats?
Yeah, can you tell them it's okay?
You can do these things. Absolutely, you can do these things, and I've had it go two ways. I've had it work really well, where the animal is responsive and the owner notices some change, at which point I immediately tell the owner to talk to their animal, even if they do not do any animal communication, and say, thank you so much. You're making me so happy. Because typically, my experience has been that animals really want their owners to be happy more mm-hmm. than any of us, more than I ever realized, for sure. And so in a situation where I have a dog that's just barking and barking and barking, and, you know, I'm getting to maybe a reason why the barking is happening, and then sharing that with the owner, and they're able to make change. And then also delivering the message. And I've just recently had a follow-up come in from a customer who is simply asking that I relay a message. She's going out of town. It's a rescue dog with obviously abandonment issues. And so have you heard of Reiki?
Yes.
Okay, so that's something else that can be included in sending a message
to an
animal.
You might explain what that is.
You're going to have to explain Reiki. You have to give an official Google definition. It's basically working with energy and communicating through that fashion to be able to send a message that way in addition to communicating. So, yes, I guess the answer to your question is yes. And like people, sometimes you ask them to stop doing things and they don't listen.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
And Kathy, for joining us here. We're going to take another call this afternoon. We're talking on Sound Living with Rachel Milliken, and we're joined next by Mike in Mukilteo. Mike, thanks for joining us. Are you with us, Mike? Let's see. Mike, are you with us? Oh, I think we lost Mike. Well, if Mike was listening, he can give us a call back and join the conversation with Rachel Milliken this afternoon on Sound Living. We're talking about communicating with your animals. When did you come to understand that your ability is not unique, that anyone could do this if they understand the process, that
sure.
What you had was not a unique gift?
Sure, absolutely. I think that realization came to me once I researched animal communication and ordered probably 50 books. books from Penelope Smith and Amelia Kincaid and Carol Gurney and Marta Williams and anyone else who had really published anything to that end. And in reading and researching all of this, and anecdotal story upon story upon story, And then meeting some different people and going to workshops and doing webinars and finding that anybody can do this. It's basically you, it's like a muscle. Your intuition and your sixth sense, which we all have, unused will atrophy. Used will sharpen. So I knew that person was going to do that, or I had a feeling that phone call was going to be mom, or these, I should have done this. I mean, all of these things when we know, but we dismiss it, fall into the category of intuition and telepathy.
Let me take a call. Mike has called us back, and then we'll continue our conversation here with this. But joining me on the telephone is Mike from Mukilteo. Mike, thanks for calling back.
Hey, no problem.
I have a question for Rachel.
Well, I've been talking to Rachel about, she mentioned my dog, B2, we have the peeping Tom. And I just wanted to thank her, actually, for taking my request.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I shared with Ed earlier that you said there was no way in the world you would believe in this until someone sent you my way.
Yeah. I was definitely a misbeliever.
What convinced you? Can you talk a little bit about that?
To the right of my house is a green belt, and there's trees all, right up against the back of the house, and you know, 2-3 feet high, you know, and grass growing back there that was pretty high. And after I talked to Rachel, I started looking around, you know, to find out what was over there, and there was a path. And I actually had a friend staying at my house, and she was on the couch one night at about 1:30 in the morning, and there was a man standing in the window. And then the roommate that I have, where her room is on that back side of the green belt, she, you know, has seen a man back there. Since, you know, Beamer had passed away, well, after I started thinking about, you know, all that, it was a couple days before he died that he was viciously going up to the windows and barking, you know, and I'd call him, I'd let him out, and he'd chase around the corner, and obviously he was chasing this man.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, to make a long story short, I mean, the police have been called, and, you know, I think the gentleman is moving at this point.
Great.
well, because he, well, he's been found out.
Right.
You know, and he doesn't like it. He was very angry the other night, middle of the night, walking up and down the driveway. This is definitely unstable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the police can't do anything without catching him, and we don't have any pictures yet. So, mm-hmm. you know, I did put in cameras and motion detectors, so he can't come within, you know, 50 yards of the house without something catching him. So,
good.
But anyway, I just wanted to thank you, and because it really took, you know, his death to open my eyes.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. And we want to thank B2 for that, because that's really who sent the message.
Yeah, yeah. So thank you again, Rachel. And
absolutely.
And Mike, thanks for taking the call. Mike,
yeah, just thank you for calling as well. Appreciate you taking the time to do that.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
We're talking on Sound Living this afternoon with Rachel Milliken, an animal communicator. We're talking with her about talking with the animals, talking and having the animals talk back. We'll take a brief break. We'll take a look at weather and traffic, and then we'll resume. If you'd like to join the conversation this afternoon, 425-303-9070.
Eighty-two degrees in Everett, Washington at 4:40 and 30 seconds, 56% humidity, and you can expect partly cloudy skies tonight, lows around 56, tomorrow partly cloudy and highs around 74. Sunday, the rain returns, 70% chance, 65 degrees the high. And looks like chance of rain through Tuesday. In traffic, the trestle is moderate right now, eastbound on Highway 2, and stop-and-go traffic northbound 5 through Everett. The heavy traffic commences coming down the hill right around 47th southeast, so watch out for that as you head home. Do drive carefully out on those savage highways. 45 minutes, both Seattle to Everett and Bellevue to Everett. And if you're headed south, it's 55 minutes Everett to Seattle and 35 minutes Everett to Bellevue. There is a collision blocking the right lane. Looks like another one on southbound State Route 167 near south to 77th, and teams are on the scene.
And we're back on Sound Living this afternoon. Our phone number is 425-303-9070. And we're talking about communicating with your animals. And my guest is Rachel Milliken. Let me delve a little bit deeper into this concept of communications, because you're using a lot of terms that you and I as human beings know, but we have the ability to grasp abstract concepts. So when you're talking with these animals, do they understand the concept of ownership? Do they understand happy, lonely, work, play? Do you get a sense that they can grasp these abstract concepts, or are you interpolating?
When you say abstract concepts, are you talking about what you have to define what you mean by that? Do they know the difference between
happy and sad?
Yes, absolutely. Their emotions and personalities are as varied as human beings. Their response to why are you spraying in the house? I'm marking my territory. Your human would be really happy if you would stop doing that. Can be, oh, I didn't know I was upsetting her that much. Obviously not in those exact words, but an example. To, I'm going to do what I do because I'm that guy. They're as varied as human beings, and they absolutely experience a full spectrum of emotions as we do.
Do they understand a concept like ownership? Do they understand the idea that in the parlance of some pet owners, they are at the mercy of the owner? I am your owner. You are my pet. I own you, and I can do with you as I please. Or is that a concept that eludes?
That's an interesting question. I struggle with it a little bit because I don't really think of myself as the owner of my pets. My animals, be it my hamster to my fish to my dogs, have been family members to me. So there isn't this division of I am human animal, you are cat animal, I own you. I would venture to say that the animal who is owned is very different than the animal who is clan in how they even interact in the world.
Well, there are many that the whole idea of ownership of an animal as a pet is an anathema. They just see that they are family members and they treat them such. Do you sense in conversations that animals believe themselves to be free spirits and that ownership is not something, a concept that they accept, that they are here by choice and anytime they want to leave, they feel that they can leave?
Anytime they want to leave the space they're in?
The human that is tending them, if you will.
I think that they definitely get the idea that they are in the place that they're in and that they can't really leave that place. I mean, they can't get out of the house. They can't get out of the fence. So in the sense that these are my owners, my humans, my parents, I think that they're tapped into that concept and hopefully are very happy about it. I think that some animals have come back to be with that person that they've been with before. I think that there are situations where that animal has cycled through many lifetimes along with that person, and they're here teaching them something.
We're talking on Sound Living this afternoon with Rachel Kincaid. We're talking about communicating with your animals, talking with your animals, and listening when your animals talk back. Have you found that there's enough standardization that you can assign meaning to an animal's behavior, regardless of whether it is a horse or a dog or a cat?
Standardization is in the sense that they, in other words, they're acting this way, this is the reason why,
right,
and label
right.
it. I just think that our human language has enough words and descriptors to be able to describe that, but every animal situation is seemingly different. It's like me asking you a particular question versus asking John Smith. You're going to have a different response that way.
If I smile, mm-hmm. smile means I'm happy.
Right.
So
I would say when the horse smiles and when the dog smiles, which as we know, they smile, that yes, they are emoting happiness. Absolutely. As when they whimper, there is a sense of maybe they are having fear or they are something hurts. So what they're trying to vocalize to you at this point. They're trying to.
What happens if they sit on the floor and stare at me?
That's what
my dog does.
It sounds like it's time for you to go inside and figure out what's going on. They're pointing something out to you. I mean, they're sitting there staring at you, and they're waiting for you to respond in some capacity.
So how do I do that? What is the process that you use to get inside an animal?
Okay. So the my steps have been to practice rooting and grounding first. An example of that you would read in any book would be to imagine, say, maybe vines wrapping around your feet and rooting down into the earth. And grounding yourself is the first thing, because you're getting ready to go into an ungrounded space, theoretically. And so I ground myself. I have some breathing exercises that I do. Usually the breathing exercises are a place where I can kind of let go of my day, if you will. And then I center myself and I sense my energy from my feet up to the top of my head, down my shoulders and arms, basically tapping into my body, noticing if there's any places where things are uncomfortable and tight, and try and release that space. So at this point, I'm doing physical activity with my body.
And you are in a...
I'm sitting in a chair.
You're in a chair. There's no television, radio, anything, any music playing or anything of that nature.
It's
just you in the room.
I usually even kick my dogs out because I don't want them to answer any questions that I'm asking someone else or be in my space or decide to bark or wink at me for that matter. And then so I go through this physical practice. And once I've done that and my body's feeling pretty good and I'm feeling pretty open and I've done my breathing exercises, I then... envision what we refer to as our crown chakra. And at the top of your head, I envision very bright white light, and I open that space up. So instead of feeling like your head feels right at this very moment, if you were sitting and spending some time with your body and then you felt that space very open, and then I let that, as if there were doors at the top of your head, I let that space open. I imagine white light, and then I surround myself in that light. After I'm done doing that and I'm sitting in that space, I then feel energy traveling up and down my spine and feel movement in the energy in my body. Now I sit, and I sit in this space that I've created both physically in my body and then in my energetic body. And in theory, there's no thought at this point in my brain. And if there is, I wait until there is no thought. So again, coming back to kind of a meditative state. And I think that probably most of the time my eyes are closed and they roll up to the center, my third eye, which would be your intuitive eye, your psychic eye maybe. And I just sit there, and that's where I sit and I wait. And I have had already my questions formulated for this particular animal that I'm working with, and I have a pen and pad in hand. And I, I have a little, I guess you would call it an incantation that I invoke when I start to only invite those in the greatest and highest good and all of this other good stuff. Catholic school maybe seeping in somewhere along the road there. And then I just sit and wait, and the information just comes in. And like I say, it comes in a variety of modalities, and it comes in really, really fast. So I find myself transcribing. I don't sit in front of a computer because I don't feel like the computer is appropriate, and I write everything out before I type it up to send it to the person who emailed me.
And this communication, does it only come to you when you are in that state? Do you communicate with dogs? Do dogs communicate with you when you are out walking your dogs?
That's a great question. Because I'm a human animal and my brain runs at the speed of light, unfortunately, I am not always as available to that information. However, I have been on places such as a farm where there was a communication from a particular animal that just came right in because I wasn't thinking at that point in time. Or I've maybe been to an exercise class, and so my energy's kind of blown out, and I'm just relaxed state, and I'm walking down the street in downtown Seattle, and someone walks by with their dog, and I can get a communication from that animal. Or the police officer on his horse. If I'm thinking about work and I'm doing everything else, I'm simply not available for that communication to come in. But if I'm in a state where I am available, then yes, I'm going to get that.
We're talking on Sound Living this afternoon with Rachel Milliken. If you'd like to join the conversation, 425-303-9070, 425-303-9070. You communicate with all animals, but you are a dog fancier. Is that because you find them easier to communicate, smarter? What is the attraction for dogs for you?
I think it just started with dogs for me primarily, and so I kind of went that route and initially felt like I was maybe most comfortable with dogs. I was working at the shelter, and it was the end of the night, and I'd been visiting with this dog, Weedle, and no one was around, although I didn't know that. And I'm laying on the floor with him because he'd been there entirely too long and scratching his belly. And all of a sudden I hear, "Why do I keep getting returned?" And it was literally as loud as there was a man standing next to me.
In English, you heard this?
I heard this in English. "Why do I keep getting returned?" And then in my immediate, as soon as I heard that, which was like a second, my eyes welled up with tears and my heart was like someone stuck an arrow in it. And I looked at the dog and I said, "You're going to make me cry." Typical stupid human. I'm blaming the dog for my emotion reaction. So, you know, which was a silly thing to do. Only to find out later that this particular guy had actually been adopted and returned 3 times. I did not know this because I was only there one day a week, so I miss everything in between. I forget your question.
The question was, why dogs?
Do you find dogs
easier to communicate with?
I would say initially my thought was, I communicate really well with dogs. Only to find that communication crosses the board with all animals.
And do others communicate better with cats and some with horses?
Maybe. And it might just be what particular animal you're drawn to, but I will say that they all communicate. And that if the ability is there and you're willing to work on it with whatever particular animal maybe you're drawn to, you can do it with any animal. You know, I do find that kitty cats have a tendency to be a little bit more tricksters, shall I say, than others. Those are the only caveats I have as of yet. I usually have to sometimes clarify things when I'm communicating with a kitty because they seem to be very smart.
And to find out more, to read more about this, would be Penelope Smith, Mabel Temple Graydon, and Amelia Kincaid.
Absolutely. Penelope Smith is considered kind of the grandmother of animal communication. She's been doing it for a very long time and has a lot of wonderful books. Her latest book that I just completed is called Animals and Spirit, which addresses kind of the loss of animals and being able to connect with them. And Amelia Kincaid has been around for years. I've done a workshop with her, and she has 2 wonderful books out. Her first book is Straight from the Horse's Mouth, and the second one is The Language of Miracles. And there's a woman by the name of Carol Gurney out of Southern California who actually has a full program that you can enroll in for animal communication. And she's wonderful. Hers is very step 1, step 2, step 3, step 4 for a very linear brain research study person. She's great that way. And she also offers workshops.
Rachel, thank you for being a guest today.
Wonderful. I've enjoyed I was delighted to be here,
with this. My guest has been Rachel Milliken. She talks with animals and pets, and she believes everyone can do the same if you just take the time to learn and to listen. And you can find out more about her work at her webpage, beyondbarking.com, and you can reach her by email, rachel@beyondbarking.com. And again, thank you
for being
here today.
Absolutely.
Next week on Sound Living, we return to history, specifically archiving the folk music history of the Northwest. My guests will be Bob Nelson, founder of the Pacific Northwest Folklore Society, set up in the 1950s, and John Vallier, who is music archivist at the University of Washington. Bob is in the process of digitizing and cataloging 60 years of records and Northwest folk musicians' music, hoots, and performances. The University of Washington has agreed to help and make the archives accessible on the web, and the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. wants the originals to securely store them in their climate-controlled vaults. Find out what's on tape that is so important next week on Sound Living with my guests Bob Nelson and John Vallier of the University of Washington. Sound Living is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of your independent public radio station, made possible with engineering help this afternoon from Wandering Joel. And we'd like to hear your thoughts this afternoon. Feel free to call us or write us at Sound Living, KSER, 2623 Wetmore in Everett at 98201, and the email address news@kser.org. I'm your host, Ed Bremmer. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned. Democracy Now! Is coming up next, Between the Lines at 6, and it's left, right, and center tonight at 6:30 on your independent radio station, KSER.